Time to delve into the business of Suffolk County. And it is part of a spotlight segment right here on Long Island. That's where we welcome in the county executive. His name, of course, is Steve Vallone. It's always great to have him back. Sir, how are you?
I'm good, Jay. Good to talk to you. How are you?
I am doing well. Boy, I tell you, you have been busy. I have been following your trek in and around Normandy, back on D-Day, Arlington Cemetery, 9/11. I'll tell you, Steve, you've been a busy guy. What was, I got to ask you, because, you know, we did a whole thing on D-Day back in early June. What was that like heading over there into France and really kind of getting into the crux of it all?
It was extraordinary. You know, being there with D-Day veterans who were there 75 years ago, you know, on that sacred ground, you know, one of the things that really struck me, Jay, was being there at Omaha Beach at the American Cemetery. You know, when you look down and you look down at the water and see how far that they had to come off of those beaches in order to, under heavy fire, you know, every second, it just blows you away to think what they did that day, really to save the world. It's really extraordinary. So it was an incredible experience to be there, one of the most moving experiences of my life, to be there at Normandy on D-Day on the 75th anniversary. And, of course, we were there we brought an American flag here that we flew on sacred ground here at Long Island National Cemetery and at Calverton National Cemetery. And we raised that flag at Normandy on the 75th anniversary of D-Day. And now we have that flag on permanent display in the county. And we're going to bring that flag down once a year on June 6th on D-Day to honor World War II veterans here.
Fantastic stuff. And I tell you, I get riveted every time Mr. County Executive, I'm flipping channels and Saving Private Ryan is on, of course, you know, the Battle of Normandy and everything else. It was an incredible event, and Spielberg just gets you right into it in the opening 30 minutes. It is just incredible. It really is. And
yeah,
just to kind of see what the truth.
Yeah, if you've ever seen that movie, right, for those who haven't seen it, I remember being in a theater watching the movie. You feel like after that opening scene that you have to take a breath. It is that jarring because it really shows how heroic and how brave these guys were for what they went through. It was incredible.
Really was absolutely incredible. And then, of course, 9/11. At the Arlington Cemetery, correct?
Yeah, so we were selected. Suffolk County was selected to lay a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier on 9/11 because of the work that we do with veterans. As you know, Jay, we have more veterans living here than in any place in the state of New York in Suffolk County, and it's really one of the things that makes us so special. So we were chosen for this honor, and for me, you know, I also happen to be turning 50 on 9/11. So to be able to be representing Suffolk County and be down there on my 50th birthday and laying a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, I couldn't imagine a better way to be marking that occasion. It was an incredible experience, very special for me. Again, you know, to be standing in that sacred space, you know, and you look out on the hills all around you. You have those, you know, stones marking the graves of the last resting place for these American heroes who defended our nation. And it's just, you can't help but be incredibly moved by that. And I got to go down with, you know, Tom Ronayne, who's a Navy veteran, head of our Veteran Services Office, one of our Veteran Service Officers, who's an Air Force veteran, Melissa Pandolf. And then we selected a representative of Suffolk veterans, Joe Cognitori, from the VFW up in Rocky Point, who also is a 9/11 first responder, Vietnam veteran, and they all three of them were 9/11 first responders. So, you know, again, to be able to be there on 9/11 in this, you know, sacred place for our country, and to be able to honor those who have served our country and those who sacrificed on 9/11 was really a special experience for us.
Really, and I know Joe well, my hometown there, the VFW. And by the way, you know, I get educated every day on this program. Steve turning 50 on 9/11 did not know that. By the way, Ballone doesn't look more than 38.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you're doing around there. I'll tell you, you must be running those marathons and everything else left and right.
You were kind, my friend. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, a couple of big happenings. That's good stuff. It's a great honor. No question about it. The county executive with us, Steve Ballone. I'll tell you, third term, Steve, I remember, you know, 2011. It's hard to believe, right? We're 8 years in, and you're going for another one. Do you remember, you know, listen, I remember the days in which you were a supervisor way back. I mean, could you have ever envisioned yourself not only winning the county executive post, but here you go for a third term, 8 years plus and everything else? What's that like as you kind of reminisce to the days of your entranceway into that post?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's really interesting to be in this position and going for a third term. Jay, if I can really quickly, I just wanted to mention something else on 9/11. You know, I did run a race and we were raising money for two 9/11 causes, and just want to let people know that if, you know, anyone's interested in supporting those two 9/11 causes. One was for the Responders Remembered Park in Smithtown, Neskonza, the place where you honor those who came after our nation was attacked and who have died from 9/11 related illnesses. John Feel and that organization that has done so much good for the country. That park was damaged in the storm, so we're raising money for that. And also an FDNY family transport van that's going to be named for Captain John Vigiano. John's one of the best people I knew in my life. He lost both his sons on 9/11, him and his wonderful wife, Jan. You know, one was a police officer, one was a firefighter, and they both died on 9/11. And John spent his time searching for them and others for months down in Ground Zero. And John was also a United States Marine veteran and somebody who organized trips after 9/11 down to Walter Reed to visit our wounded warriors. So an amazing guy. We're raising money to help supply that family transport van that'll help other heroes in our community. So if anyone's interested in supporting either of those 9/11 causes, they can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/Steve Ballone. So sorry about that, Jay. Just wanted to mention that.
That's all right. That's important. So that's great stuff, the efforts to raise money for two great causes right there. Please.
Yeah.
Check it out on that site. Yeah, absolutely. We'll keep on top of that as well for you. You know, and you know, listen, 2011 was 8 years ago, and
yeah,
here you go again, the term number three. As you kind of think back to the days as a supervisor way back and everything else, I mean, could you have ever envisioned, you know, as we kind of get into term three here, as far as everything that has taken place?
You know, it's interesting, Jay. I've never spent my time in my career, you know, trying to plot anything out, or, you know, I've seen people in politics, you know, try to think about, oh, where do I want to go? What do I want to be? And I've never done that because I have a fundamental belief, number one, that you don't know where life's going to take you. And, you know, trying to plot out any sort of career in politics is a fool's errand because there's so many different things that happen. My belief has always been this, you know, focus on what you're doing. Try to do good things. Try to do important things. You know, and if something else happens down the line, you get an opportunity to, say, run for county executive or something else, and you think you can contribute, great, do it. If not, if that doesn't happen, at least you have done some good things for the community, for the people you serve. And for me, that's more than enough. So, you know, I'm running for a third term because, you know, we have unfinished business. We've accomplished a lot, but there's more work to be done. And, you know, I want to see through the things that we've been able to accomplish and able to move forward, things like water quality, you know, making great progress on the opioid epidemic, public safety, lowest level of crime in recorded history here. But, you know, we need to make sure as, you know, as we see these changes to criminal justice, that we continue to drive crime down. We manage that in a way that we're driving crime down, but also restoring communities as well. You know, we want to continue to reform government, move forward 311. We can make government even more efficient than we've done already, you know, partnering with our public employees. So a lot of things that, you know, I want to see through to the end, which is why I'm running for a third term.
It's always good, you know, along the way. I always kind of look at who's endorsing who and whatnot. You have some impressive, Steve Vallone, some impressive endorsements. Lately, most notably of late, the AME folks over there, the union reps, I thought that was a pretty good deal for you, and PBA and everything. But you have some pretty good people that have really been behind you along the way, and they really kind of tell you as a leader and everything else. To me, that's impressive when you read some of these endorsements.
Yeah. Number one, I said when it comes to law enforcement, I come from a law enforcement family. My dad has been a police officer and a corrections officer. You know, many in my family have served in law enforcement. You know, I served in the military. I come from a background. I have a tremendous respect for the men and women who serve. And I said I was going to take the politics out of law enforcement. We're going to focus on making sure we give them the tools necessary to, you know, to reduce crime and protect our communities. And that's exactly what we've done. And, you know, we have an incredible law enforcement team in place. And Suffolk County literally has never been safer than it has been, than it ever has been than today. Crime at the lowest level in recorded history. And the result is we put gangs like MS-13 on the run, making great progress on the opioid epidemic, taking, you know, drugs off the street. So that's been a great thing. And we're proud to have the support of not only the PBA and all of law enforcement, but also AME, which is our, you know, great public employees. And we've gone through, you know this, Jay, we've gone through some challenges in Suffolk County. When I walked in the door here 8 years ago, I inherited a half a billion dollar deficit, $500 million deficit, $200 million structural budget gap. You know, these were incredibly challenging times, but we had to make some very difficult choices, some tough decisions. And, you know, throughout all of that, employees, our public employees, the men and women of AME, always continue to conduct themselves in, you know, the top professional manner, doing their jobs and being great public servants. And, you know, because of, I think, the partnership that we've had with our public employees, we've been able to essentially eliminate that deficit, eliminate the structural budget gap. And, you know, we are significantly stronger than we were 8 years ago and getting stronger every day. And you can only do that with a partnership. And so I'm grateful to have their support as we move into a third term because, you know, we have some really positive things we can get done over the next 4 years.
No question. You're listening to the county executive, Suffolk County, Steve Vallone. Steve, I tell you, this rideshare program, I like it. First of its kind and everything else, you know, to me, it takes the illness off the roads, congestion and everything else, gets people moving in the right direction as far as physical fitness, atmosphere, environment. You know, it's kind of all three or four into one there. I like the program.
Yeah, so we, you know, just launched this first of its kind regional bike share program starting in Village of Babylon, Patchogue, Village of Patchogue, and Hampton Bays with a company called Zagster. And basically now people have the ability, and it's called Bethpage Ride. Bethpage Federal Credit Union, they are out in front, as they usually are on things that matter for Long Islanders. This is a groundbreaking thing for our region. You know, we've always been completely car dependent on Long Island, but you know, Jay, we know that the generations that are coming up, we know the millennials and the generation behind them, they want different transit options. They want to be able to move around, not always having to be in the car. And, you know, a big part of that is being out there and being on, a bike and be able to travel around. And so now to give people the opportunity to come to, you know, one of our great downtowns and be able to, you know, for very low cost, rent that bike and travel around to take the train out to do that. Now you have that bike option. You know, it just opens up and increases the mobility options for people. And it's part of our overall strategy. We need to be able to attract and retain those young people that are looking for those options, that are looking for vibrancy in downtown, because you know, they're the key to building out an innovation economy. They're the key to, you know, creating high-paying jobs and creating a prosperous future for everyone. So, you know, we need to continue to do things that will attract them. Ride-sharing does all of those things. It is healthy. We're also working on planning out an interconnected hiking and biking network that will connect our 50,000 acres of parks and open space with our different downtowns and our universities out in Suffolk County. So we're really working to make Suffolk County a bike-friendly place, and you know, launching Bethpage Ride now in three of our great downtowns, and we're going to be expanding soon, is a great, great start. And this is the future, Jay.
It really is. So I thought it was well done. I'll tell you another thing I thought was well done. And it was a story that stuck in my head, Steve, and that's this whole thing with the Wyandanch School District and the sports programs and everything, and they need money. We know about the cuts in the budget and everything else. You know, you kind of led the way there. I thought it was well done salvaging a football season. I mean, people don't realize how important sports is to a community, and I love the fact how everybody kind of got together to forge ahead and make sure those kids over there are in the right spot. That's a great job by all. It really was.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I think a lot of people did have a sense of the importance of it, you know, kind of intuitively, Jay, that, yeah. You know, we've all been through high school. We know, you know, many of us played high school sports, some didn't, but everybody has an understanding kind of the importance of it. You know, I played high school football not far from Wyandotte. I played in North Babylon, and I know how important it was to, you know, my high school years and growing up. And, you know, I think about those kids. You know, it's not their fault that there are budget problems happening there that, you know, are going to cause them not to have a, you know, high school senior year playing football. And or playing soccer or any of the other sports that year. And imagine all these kids who would have been out on the practice field or out there playing the games, and they're not doing that. They're just out on the street. They're out with idle time. And that's when you have issues. And that's why you know, we said, you know, this is a top priority. So let's go out there. Let's appeal to people. Let's try to raise the money. And people really did get it. And, you know, kids would have lost scholarship opportunities. Kids, you know, would have lost the experience, the very healthy experience of being able to play sports while you're in school. So people stepped up. I have to tell you, philanthropic organizations like Island Outreach, we had former presiding officer Paul Tona stepped up and he raised a bunch of money. Steve Castleton stepped forward, and you had the New York Jets organization. And I got to say, I was, as a longtime Jets fan, I was pretty proud that the Jets stepped forward to help save the football season as well. So it was, you know, I'm hopeful, you know, this represents a real positive turning point for the district as well.
Hey, Jets stepped up. Although, Steve, I feel bad for you after watching last night. My goodness.
It's not easy being a Jets fan, Jay.
Hey, listen, I'm not easy a Giants fan like myself. I mean, together, wow.
Hey, you've had a couple
till
of Super Bowls, though. The last time Jets won a Super Bowl, my mother was pregnant with me, essentially, 50 years ago. So, you know.
Oh, my. You definitely need a Joe Namath type there or something, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Couple of quick ones before we let you go. You know, we had him on yesterday, the governor, and, you know, he's been all over it. You have, too. You had, from way back, this whole vaping issue. And, of course, he put the ban on the flavored stuff. And, Steve, you were right on. I remember. You know, way back, it's dangerous. We don't know a lot about it. And I thought it was the right thing to do, really. I really did.
Yeah, 100%. Credit to the governor for, you know, taking aggressive action on this. This is a health epidemic, and it's one of those things that really snuck up on us, Jay, because people were, you know, it was being out there marketed, you know, as a healthy alternative. And, you know, essentially what was happening is you had a whole new generation. You know, people thought we really had conquered this problem. You know, there's people still smoking, but the numbers are down, you know, really significantly. And among young people, they were really down. But here you had this product sort of sneaking in there, and we were looking at these numbers and looking at the risk of a whole generation of kids now becoming addicted to nicotine, which is extraordinary that this was happening right under our noses. And that's why we raised the alarm, you know, pretty much a couple of years ago and started taking aggressive action on it. And, you know, this was an important step by the governor, and I'm glad to see it's happening.
Really good stuff. And I'll end with this. You know, we talk about the clean water stuff. I know you're going to be, I believe it's today, right? It's Stony Brook.
Yeah.
I think it's a great thing. You know, you're going to have a panel of experts and everything else. A lot of people always have questions on the water. We know that, you know, listen, we cherish our water here on the island. We know that. But I think it's good. You're going to have a couple of really good listen, Chris Gobler, anyone better than him? He's going to have some opening remarks. I know you're going to make an announcement. You're going to have a keynote address taking place, the commission of that. I think it's going to be a good situation. I think the more we learn and everything else, experts coming through and everything, people will be satisfied here.
Yeah, we're putting together just a great team of experts from around the region and around the state on the water quality issue. You know, we've taken a very aggressive approach to working to reverse the decades of decline that we've seen in our water quality. And, you know, we're not going to stop. And this forum is a great indication of that. We have to conquer this problem because, as you noted, Jay, I mean, water, you know, water is everything to us here. You know, we're an island, and, you know, our economy is dependent on it. We have a $6.1 billion tourism economy on Long Island that's dependent on water. You know, we live here because of that. You know, we love going out on our boats and fishing and, you know, going in the lakes and kayaking and all these things. If we lose that, if we don't protect that, then we're just harming ourselves. We're hurting our property values. We're, you know, diminishing our quality of life. It's just something that can't happen, which is why, you know, today's water quality forum is another really positive step forward.
No doubt about it. Always great to have you as far as a little catch-up and everything else, and hopefully we'll talk a couple of more times as we get down into the crux of November. Pleasure to have you. Keep up the good situation, water quality and everything else. We'll talk soon. How's that?
Sounds great.